Okay, this morning we're going to be looking at, if I can get our clicker here to work. Let me try it again. Well, get the bugs out, right? Technology is great when it works. You know what? Mr. Marcus, or actually Andrew, I'll let you take this and play with it back there. Oh, hey, it's working. Okay, we got to work on the humility with the assistant evangelist here. But, just teasing, Andrew, just teasing. All right, a praying church. We're going to look at this morning in our Sunday school, the matter of a praying church. Now, how many of you, again, don't know what to give someone? You know, you think of the Christmas time and what am I going to give them? And the age old, you know, you're always safe if you just give them what? Money. Oh, I guess that's true. Money, gift cards, socks. How many of you have gotten socks for Christmas? Oh, socks, socks. Not socks. No, socks. You know, what's safe? Give someone socks. I tell you that what we're going to look at this morning is always safe. You will not fail in giving prayer on the behalf of others in your church. It's not something that's ever going to stop fitting. It's not something that's ever going to go out of date or expire. It's not something that they will ever be without need of. Now, have you ever thought of other people in your church as needing prayer? Well, when they're hurting, when they're suffering, perhaps when they're going through a trial or a difficulty, that's when we think they need prayer. But there are so many other opportunities for us to be praying for one another. And as we consider this morning Christmas, I know you think this isn't a Christmas Sunday school. It is, because if you will decide this day and into tomorrow, and even into this next week, to be actively involved in giving prayer on the behalf of others, you will find that God is glorified through this. And you will find that others in your church family are benefited by it. You can get all kinds of gifts, can't you, that you just say, ha, 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 thank you. And you put in that box, or you put in that shelf, or you put in that room where all the stuff goes that you never use. This is not like that at all. Prayer is something that is vitally needed. And a praying church, giving to others through the gift of prayer. I don't know if you've thought of prayer in that way, as a gift that can be given to the benefit of others. But first of all, this morning, I want to talk to you about what prayer is not. So when you think about prayer, giving to others through the gift of prayer, I want you to remember that prayer is not a few things, okay? In your notes there, it is not a fancy or eloquent string of words. It's not a fancy or eloquent string of words. When you look in the scriptures, you're not going to find prayer to be this fancy, eloquent string of words. Now, we often read prayers in scripture and think of them as being well said. And you ought to, as you speak to anyone, speak well. And the more that you think of the reverence that God is due, there will be clarity, I think, in that. But sometimes I have talked to young Christians, people that have just gotten saved, and their mindset is, well, I don't know how to pray like you. I don't want you to pray like me. I want you to pray like you are speaking to the Lord. Not to think that the fancy words or any kind of eloquence is needed that you need to speak. Does anyone, by the way, need an outline? I've got a few folks that might be looking for one. Everyone's got one. All right. We can get you one if you need one. All right. And then secondly, it is not complicated or, yes, thank you, Brother Baugh. It is not complicated or impressing others that we're seeking. Is prayer complicated? We're going to see in a moment. It's not. Somehow or another, we have a tendency to have in our minds ideas about things that God wants us to do that are not as complicated as we make them. Have you ever done this? Some of the things that I have often given my kids to do, they look at it and it's just like, I can't do this. It's overwhelming. Put your socks in the drawer. You know, is that a complicated task? Well, to some of us, we might say, maybe. But is the task itself hard? No, but sometimes we just psych ourselves out. You know what I mean by that? I don't start a thing because I think it's too hard of a thing. That is not how you ought to view prayer. Prayer is not complicated, neither is it for the purpose of impressing others. In fact, you find in Scripture, and we're not even going to go into those things this morning, you know well that people do often pray in a way to impress others. But that is not how God is pleased with prayer, is it? No. God is not impressed with your trying to impress others. That is not biblical prayer. So biblical prayer is not fancy, eloquent string of words. It's not to be complicated. It's not for the purpose of impressing others. What is prayer? Now, this is what I want to focus on this morning. In Scripture, in fact, Brother Andrew is going to take the mic around to a few people. If someone is interested in reading James 1, verses 5 and 6, just raise your hand up. And all right, Brother Nathan up here, if you want to get to a mic. Prayer, in your notes there, is asking and expecting to receive. And so if you look in your Bibles over at James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. James 1, verse number 5 and 6. Prayer is asking, expecting to receive. While you're turning to James 1, I want to give you time to get there. How many of you have ever been to a fast food store before? Okay. Universal opportunity here. I like Wendy's. When I go to Wendy's, I go to the little thing that's there. If I haven't ordered on my app, I should point that out. But if I go to the window or the little speaker outside where it's got the menu, I see what I want, what I'm hungry for, and I tell them what it is. Now, you say, how is that anything like prayer? Well, it's much like prayer. In fact, to a young Christian, I will often say, you don't know what to say to God. What do you need? When you go to Wendy's, you don't go there and say, oh, I don't think they have anything I need. No, you know they have what you need. Probably a lot of things you really don't need. I know. But you're hungry. Do they have food at Wendy's? Yes, you expect that if you order food, you're going to get something, right? Maybe. We're out of that. Okay, that could happen. But you have an expectation when you go to asking. If you went to Wendy's and asked for, Chinese food. Maybe they even have Chinese food there. But if you go there asking for something you know they don't have, that'd be frustrating, wouldn't it? But when we go to God, we know that He has the things that we need. That's why we're going to Him in prayer. And if your mindset about prayer is asking because I expect that God has what I need, that's how I'm to think of prayer. Prayer is asking. And I often tell a young Christian, you go and you ask at Wendy's without any kind of overthinking it. Well, maybe some people overthink it, but when you go to God in prayer, recognize God, unlike Wendy's, is always excited that we're coming to Him for the request. Look at James 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. Go ahead and read that for us. 5 and 6.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
Okay, so if any of you lack wisdom, okay, is that ever the status of any of us? And wisdom in James 1 is in the context of in difficulties that you might go through. How many of you are going to have a variety of kind of difficulties at some point in your life? Yes. And as you go through difficulties, might there come times where you say, I don't know what to do or how to respond or what to think? Is that possible? Okay, that encompasses a whole bunch of stuff in our lives. James 1 is very, very practical. What do I do with that? You've got an option to carry it on your shoulders and be afraid and be filled with angst and bitterness or anger or all kinds of unspiritual things. But we are told what to do. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And notice what it says. What is God's side of that? If I ask of God, what is God's side? In verse number 5. What does it say? Oh, come on, class. You can say it out loud. He'll give it. And he'll give it how? Generously, liberally, abundantly. Oh, wow. Let's try to turn off channel one, see if that goes away. It's off? It's me, it's me. Okay. I'm curious if it's the spot. Maybe not. Okay. We'll find out shortly here. So, if I ask, I can expect that God will give. Now, how often are you asking for what you need? Well, when it gets really, really bad, then I'll ask, right? That's sometimes our method, isn't it? If it gets bad enough, then I'll ask. Lindsay and I were just talking the other night about a situation, and you'd say, you didn't bring that to God? To be honest, you wouldn't probably either. It was a very simple thing, but it was weighing on our minds more than it should, which is an indication who's carrying it. Us. And we hadn't prayed about it. And that is an indicator, by the way, in your minds and in your hearts, when you're not praying about something that you could give to God or bring to God, you will feel the weight, the pressure, and God is abundant. He'll give it. He'll give wisdom. He'll give help. He loves to give it. He'll give it liberally and upbraideth not. You know what upbraideth not means? Upbraideth not. He won't rebuke. He won't chasten you for asking. Sometimes I believe Christians are hesitant to ask because they think, well, have you ever hesitated to ask someone else, a human, for advice because you don't want them to say, you don't know how to do that? You ever been there? You know? We go 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour or two trying to fix something, and we could have just asked someone, and they would have said, restart the computer. And boom, it would have worked. But no, what did we do? We tried and tried, and I've got to figure this out, and I'm going to be smart. And guess what? God is not going to chasten us for having gone days or weeks or even months or years without asking him. He's not going to say, well, where have you been? You know what he says in James 4, verse 8? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I am so thankful for that about our God. He is not going to correct you for turning to him. He loves for us to turn to him. Interesting. It's allergic to my tie or something. Yeah, we'll keep using this. Take my phone out. Who knows? Okay. Restart the computer. Yes, we should restart the computer. James is speaking of prayer, seeking God by faith with those things that we cannot do in our flesh. There are things that we sometimes try to do in our flesh that we should not. The verse follows by saying, but let him ask in what? Faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Prayer is seeking God by faith. With everything that I cannot possibly do in my flesh. By the way, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do you do a lot of things without prayer? And with dependence upon yourself, not God. Now, this is not a rebuke of all of us this morning, but I think it is a challenge for us to consider. I won't be able to do well at praying for others if I myself don't recognize the value of it personally. You won't give things to other people that you don't put into practice yourself. I mean this. The tools that my brother have given me for Christmas are given to me because he's used them and he uses them well and he loves them and he says, my brother would love this. And he gives me this tool after he's used it and found it to work. Wireless microphones, you know. Josh Gordon, the Henry's grandson, our son, down in Columbus. They're getting sound equipment and he said, hey, what would you recommend? I said, well, I just bought these mics, but I'm not sure what to think yet. Okay, I'm using them, but I'm not sure if that's it or if it's me that's the problem this morning. But I don't recommend things to people or use them for other people's benefit if I haven't experienced it. With prayer, I don't know that we do well praying for others or encouraging others in it if we're not involved in it well. And so this morning, recognize prayer is asking and expecting to receive. Now, here's the second thing and really the focus this morning for Sunday school. Prayer is, number two, a gift to others. It is a gift to others. There are a number of times in the New Testament epistles where Paul references other people praying for him, either asking for it or, in many cases, thanking them for their prayer for him. Have you ever seen the most requested gift list? You know, what everybody wants for Christmas. When I was a kid, there was they called it a wish book or some kind of thing that would get put out by Sears or Walmart or whatever. Every kid wants this. Okay, every Christian should want prayer, should desire that others be praying for them. And not just about health issues, although that is an important area, but about everything, about their life, about their witness, about all the things, again, that I cannot do in my flesh, which is what? Anything. Anything of spiritual significance I cannot possibly do in my flesh. I know there are people that are in this church that continually pray for me that I would have power from God to preach. And you know what? I thank God for that because I know that in my flesh, I can't help this church. I can't help my family. I can't help my wife. In my flesh, in my own ability, apart from dependence upon God, nothing gets accomplished that is of any value. Do you know that's the case for you too? And so desiring prayer that others would seek God and trust God for that which other people need is a practical thing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 11. We'll try this again, Brother Marcus. Does someone want to read 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 11? And Brother Andrew will pass the mic. Brother Eric is going to read that for us. And we'll try the microphone once again. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 11. If you want to turn over there. And notice how Paul talks about this. Go ahead. Okay, notice verse 11. He says, ye also helping together by what? By prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. Were there just one or two individuals who were praying for Paul? He recognizes there's a multitude of them. And for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. There, God did something that you asked for. Had Paul been in dangerous situations? He talks in the verses before this about how close to death he had been. And people were praying for Paul. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble which came to us, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. In my flesh, if I'm in a situation where I despair of life, where I'm pressured, can that be a physical reality for someone? Yes. Now, don't think that that kind of situation is foreign to anyone in here. In fact, one of the common misunderstandings I have found in pastoring is that people often think, I'm probably the only one that is going through this. That isn't the case. We're all in a body of flesh that at times has varying kinds of oppression, difficulty, stresses, pressures. They vary. They have different names in our culture. But you are not alone in the fact that you are in a body of flesh. And you are weak. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact of what I've gone through. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust what? In ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us. Okay. He is saying, We were in such difficulty, the only thing we could do is continue to trust the one who raises the dead. That's a great comfort. But he reminds them, you prayed for us, and God reminded us of this truth. God enabled us to live in the strength of this, and that is a great comfort. This prayer is something that was a gift. Thanks is shared, and it is a needed gift. Now, notice Ephesians chapter 6. Someone want to read Ephesians 6, and someone's probably already seen Philippians 1 is coming up, so someone else might want to go there. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Someone else want to read that? Brother Todd is going to read that for us. And you can turn over there, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. What does the Bible say there?
All right. Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
All right, and then verse 19, and for me the utterance may be given unto me. I think I know what the mic is. Let's turn off mic one. There we go. And pretty sure I know what's causing our interference. Okay. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, what is he inviting others to do for him? He says, I need you to pray for me. I'm desirous of that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, first of all, for others, for all saints, and for me. Now, is it bad to tell people your Christmas list? Here's what I need to get for them and them and them. But everybody, here's what I want. Would you feel awkward doing that? About a Christmas list, maybe. What about prayer? Is there any shame on the part of Paul in asking someone else to pray for him? No. Not at all. Now, when's the last time you said, I need you to pray for me? To anybody else. About something other than which you've often heard other Christians pray. I think one of our challenges is that we've heard each other pray for the same kinds of things. Health things, decisions about the future perhaps, but we're kind of vague and not real specific about the area that we know we need God's help with specifically. Okay? You say, well, I don't know if I want to get that personal. I don't want to share that I'm that weak. Wouldn't that make me vulnerable? Prayer is a gift to others. Do we all need help? We're all in flesh, remember? Paul isn't denying something about himself here. He's opening up a vulnerability that is good to say. What does Paul recognize about himself that he is weak with? What does he say in other places he's weak in? Speaking. But Paul, you're the preacher and evangelist of the New Testament era. I mean, you're the greatest preacher ever. Surely that's easy. Is that how he viewed it? You know that sometimes we get in our minds the ideas about people that are just incorrect. We think God only uses the people that are really gifted. No, friend, can I just remind you of something? God uses the people who are very weak and who know it and admit it and that seek him and that even invite others to pray for them in their weakness, that they would do what God wants. Did God want Paul to tell others about Christ? Yes, he knew that. Others knew that. There's no question about that. Did he know that he needed God's enabling to do that? Yes. Did he ask others to pray for him to do what God wanted him to do? Yes, and so can you. And so can you for others. Now, do you know what others need? Well, do you know what others need? If someone's a parent, do you know what they need? According to the Bible, can you pray for others to biblically execute what God wants them to do? Does that make sense? Okay. Can I pray for my children to biblically do what God wants them to do as children? God wants them to obey, to honor. Is it enough for me to just tell them, you need to, or should I pray for them in that thing that they would know God's will and do it by His power. I want my kids growing in the idea of they don't just do it by muscling through on their own, but that they do it enabled by God. And you know what shows them how that process works? When they hear me saying, God, I need you to preach. I need you to lead our family. I need you to make the decisions about what I'm going to do with time. I need you. Do you see what Paul is doing here? He is opening up himself in a vulnerable way so that he can encourage them to do the same. What is it that God wants me to do? I need God's enabling, and I want you to pray for me. And when he says pray for all saints, he is not limiting that to anybody. There is no one in this church that you can't pray for. Did you know that? Well, they're off limits. I can't pray for them. No. Pray for all saints and for me. Specifically that he would have the words to say that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's a lot wrapped up in that. But the goal is I want to accomplish what God wants accomplished, the way God wants it accomplished. And I want God to be who you seek for that to happen and who I am seeking for it to happen. And then a third, and there are more than this. We noticed one yesterday in our Bible study with the men in Colossians 4. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Real quick, look over at Philippians 1, verse 18 and 19. If someone want to read that one out loud, we'll try without the microphone because it's giving me troubles. Tell you what, I'll read it, all right? Philippians chapter number 1, verses 18 through 19. And Philippians chapter 1, just as a reminder, is a passage where Paul is encouraging people who have known some division, unity as a theme in the book of Philippians, and rejoicing and joy that has been lost when people aren't unified, when people are at odds with each other. And in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 18. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. What then? After hearing that some people preach Christ of contention and they're not sincere and others out of love, he says in verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know. What is it that he knows? That this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, he brings up their prayer once again, another time where he speaks of prayer. And in the book of Philippians, there's kind of a book ending in Philippians 1 here about prayer and in Philippians 4 about prayer. In fact, look over at Philippians 4 just as a reminder, verse number 6. Chapter 4, verse 6 of Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is resting in while people are making false accusations against him or speaking badly of him. That's what he's resting in. That's what he's encouraging them at the end of the letter to do as well. And again, practice what you preach, praying for others. Paul's praying for them that they know this peace that passes understanding, that they know this. But he has known it himself. And he says in Philippians chapter 1, go back to Philippians 1 and verse number 18. He says he was in rejoicing. Even though things are not going well with regard to him, there is still rejoicing in his heart. Why? Because he knows that something is going to work to his salvation. Now, is he talking about his spiritual being right with God and having justification? Is that the only time that you find salvation referenced in the Bible? The answer is no. He's not talking about this is going to work to my salvation from sin to God. What is another word for salvation, another use of it? Deliverance. Deliverance from what? Now, get this, church. What is it that he needs deliverance from? Well, he's in bonds, for one thing. That's one. But I think he's also recognizing something else. the oppression and the opposition that people have towards him. What's going to deliver him from the way that he feels about the way others are acting about him? What's going to deliver him from that? What does he say? Verse number 19. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know what he's inviting them to do? Pray about the situation. Novel idea. Can I tell you that that is a gift that brings about solutions to problems? I know. Well, we just kind of use the cliche, well, let's pray about it. For what purpose, though? Again, remember James 1, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. Is it possible that people could be torn about what to think about Paul? They hear one thing, they hear another thing. I don't know what to think. Then ask God about it. All right, pray. But even beyond that, when challenges come up, our flesh loves to jump in and find solutions. Your flesh, your natural, I can figure this out part of you. And by the way, that I can figure this out part of you is incredibly deceptive. You don't know how deceptive that is. I can figure this out. I have logic on my side. Friend, your logic will jump through all kinds of hoops to not deal with the problem the way it should. Did you know that? Have you ever found yourself to do this? I'll skip through all kinds of things rather than saying, God, I don't know. I need you. I need help. By the way, that's how you were saved, isn't it? I've heard many a person tell me all their logical reasons for not believing the Bible. And they'll have this reason and this reason and this reason and this reason. And until they say, you know what? I give up. I don't really know how to deal with life. I need help. It's exciting when someone says, I've never asked for help before. I guess I should. That's how you got saved. Whether you put it into those words exactly, you had to realize, I cannot save myself. I need Christ. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Are you asking for anything right now? And are you realizing that other people need you to ask for their benefit as well? He says, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If all these people are spirit controlled who are praying for Paul, is there not a mutual working together of the Spirit of Christ to supply the need? There is. Does that bring about unity? It absolutely does. And we're not going to jump into all of Philippians, but you see this theme. Prayer is a gift to others. It's a necessary and vital one. And Paul sees the value of prayer as equal to the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Why? Prayer is seeking God by faith for help with those things I cannot do in my flesh. When people are filled with their flesh and figuring out problems, they don't rely on the Spirit. They're not depending upon the Spirit. They're looking to themselves. And nothing gets accomplished through that. Paul is encouraging the unity that the Spirit provides as people seek God in prayer. And biblical prayer is an entirely spiritual discipline. It is not a fleshly discipline. Can I remind you of that? It's not, well, I did my time and I got it done. I prayed today. I think we do that often in very mechanical terms with meals. You ought to pray before your meals, but can't we become mechanical in our praying? Okay. Can't we become mechanical even praying with our kids before bed? Can't we become mechanical in praying with our spouse? Can't we become mechanical in anything? You ever been there? Okay. That's not what we need to be. It is not a physical discipline. It is a spiritual discipline, not a work of the flesh. And God is not pleased with anything other than our coming to him in faith. Here's the third thing. We'll be done. All right? Quick, in 1 minute. Prayer is expensive. All right, the gifts that you're going to give this Christmas. You know that some of the best gifts, give you the next, they come from Dollar Tree. You say, that's not expensive. Well, did you realize what someone actually needed and go and get it? Did you take the time to know them? Did you take the time to realize what was needed. You can buy expensive things financially that don't help anyone. You can spend time with someone. You can spend time, importantly, I believe, before the Lord, to know what is needed and then seek God for that. We get caught up in things that we think are hard and that God wants us to do the hard things. Prayer is expensive in areas other than money. Expensive is not money only. What are the things that are most expensive in your life? Time. All right. So first one in Matthew 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And everyone yawns. Hey, do you imagine that that was difficult? He says in verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Mark, it says the spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. I know what I should do. I'm desirous of this, but we are in what? What are we in? Bodies of flesh that are what? Weak. Okay. The expense is in recognizing I'm weak, but I've got to. I've got to come to the Lord in prayer. It is a sacrifice of time. It is a sacrifice of energy. It is a sacrifice of focus. And you need to recognize that all of those were included in Christ's ministry. He gave time to spending in prayer. He gave energy. How did Jesus pray? He sweat great drops of blood. Was there not intensity or energy in that? He sacrificed focus on things for the benefit of others in prayer. And our prayer is to be likewise. And it's a sacrifice with results. Do you see what the result is in verse 41? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Christ demonstrates for us victory. And I would just give you this last thing. Count the cost of prayer against the cost of prayerlessness. When you think about the cost involved, think about the cost of not doing it. Do you know what I mean by that? What's the cost of prayerlessness? Let me show you in John 15:5, and we'll be done. I think I put it up on the screen. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, get used to saying, without God, you can do nothing. Without Christ and abiding in him, you can do nothing. And if you feel like I didn't get anything accomplished, you ought readily ask, am I praying? Because it is only by dependence upon him in prayer and dependence upon him about every kind of need that things will be accomplished. Father, help us this Christmas to give well to each other in this body and in our families this matter of prayer for one another. Thank you that it is a gift that is purposeful and useful, and may we glorify you as we're involved in it. Well, thank you for what you'll do today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.